anarchism, a social philosophy which aims at the emancipation, economic, social, political, and spiritual, of the human race.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery or murder. It is not a war of each against all.
Anarchism is the very opposite of all that. Find out for yourself. Tune into Subversion 1312.
Live, Tuesdays 9 to 10pm.
On 4ZZZ 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZ.org.au.
Podcasts and related content available at subversion1312.org.
And channelzeronetwork.com.
Conclusion?
We stand for anarchy, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-authoritarianism, internationalism,
autonomy, direct democracy, ecology, self-organization, solidarity, anti-fascism, anti-neoliberalism,
anti-nationalism, atheism, equality, and freedom. Good evening. Welcome to the Anarchy Show, Subversion 1312. My name's Linda. Tonight we're discussing organizing, which is basically part of community building. I've got two segments to play, and the first one is called Be an Organizer, and it's from a podcast that comes out, that has come out of New York, called Rebel Steps, and it's taking a look at being an activist and how to get involved from an anarchist slant, of course. And I did play the introduction a few weeks ago. Anyone can start an initiative in their community to make the world a better place. The second main segment tonight is from Submedia, and it's part of their Trouble series. And it's called You Don't Stop, and it's all about hip hop. There goes, there's my lame little throw over to Dead Prez. I just wanted to mention first that Donald Trump has come out and said it straight, suggesting in an interview with a conservative news site that the act of protesting should be illegal. He made these remarks in an Oval Office interview with the Daily Caller, and it was hours after his Supreme Court nominee was agreed with protests on the first day of his confirmation hearings in Capitol Hill. I don't know why they don't take care of a situation like that, Trump says. I think it's embarrassing for the country to allow protesters. You don't even know what side the protesters are on. He added, in the old days, we just used to throw them out. Today, I guess they just keep screaming. So various governments have tried to make certain protests illegal, but tried to say it in a different way, but he's just come out and said it straight up. I'm going to be playing lots of hip-hop tonight, but first, let's hear from Rebel Steps, How to Be an Organizer.
Welcome to Rebel Steps. I'm your host, Liz. It's easy to get caught up in the idea that the role of organizer or activist is a specialized job. But everyone should feel empowered to be an organizer or an activist. That doesn't mean that tomorrow you'll call a rally, but it does mean you can mobilize your friends and family. These kinds of relationships are the foundation of larger movements. Organizing is a broad term that can mean a million things. In this episode, I won't be talking about the long-term strategy or philosophical schools of organizing. For your first task, I'm recommending either bringing your friends to a protest or organizing a fundraiser or activity with them. You might find that this work feels like some other types of project and event planning, but I'll try to give you some tips and tricks about the specific issues you might encounter while organizing political events. If you're excited to invite people to a rally or protest, look for one that interests you or that's associated with an organization you know of. In New York, you can find protests happening every weekend, if not every day. If you live elsewhere or aren't sure what you want to do, try contacting some local activist groups to see what's coming up soon. This may look like escorting people at a Planned Parenthood clinic or showing up at City Hall for a big vote. Whatever it is, once you've settled on an event, start recruiting your friends. You'll want to convince them that this particular event is supporting a good cause and will be effective in some way, whether by raising awareness of an issue or pressuring a specific person to act. Invite your friends over the week before to make some signs together. It's usually tricky to find someone in the middle of a protest, so be sure to choose a meetup spot away from the actual protest and walk over together. Bring extra snacks and bring extra water. During the event, be aware of your surroundings and make sure you stay together. Take care of your friends, especially if they haven't done anything like this before. If you come from a position of privilege, getting into the streets may be safer for you than for others. Keep in mind that not everyone is able to take this step, and some people just don't enjoy it. So another option is hosting something small at home. Maybe ask your friends to read an article and have a discussion. Maybe have a party and ask your friends for donations to your favorite organization. If you're in an organization already, when picking the date, make sure you're not scheduling over something hosted by your own group. When fundraising, consider setting a goal. If you tell folks the goal, they may be more inclined to donate and help reach that goal. Even better, ask the organization you're fundraising for what they need and try to raise money for that specific project. On International Women's Day last year, my sisters and I hosted a brunch and encouraged our friends to take off work that day and join us. We made posters together, ate some great food, and went to a rally together later that day. We had a great time together and also got to talk politics.
Hey, I'm Sarah, and I'm involved with MAC.
Sarah is a friend I met through MAC, the Metropolitan Anarchist Coordinating Council. MAC seeks to strengthen and support New York City's anarchist movement through coordination of existing and emerging projects. I met many of the people interviewed for this podcast through being part of MAC, so this group will come up a lot throughout the episodes. I asked Sarah about the last time that she planned an event.
The first step was the basic logistics of date, time, location. So we found a space that is affordable and that is convenient to public transport from various areas of the city, and also a space that is a political space and that was comfortable with the work that we were going to be doing. We identified a date and time that we thought would be convenient for folks and started spreading the word right away. We made a Facebook event for it and also spread it out through our individual networks and shared it at large group meetings. And then for planning the actual day of the event, we wanted to accommodate all different folks, so making sure that we ordered vegan pizza because we assumed that some folks coming would be vegan. We made sure to have assigned roles for each of us at the event so that we made sure all areas were covered. So one person, for example, was the facilitator going through the agenda and giving the presentation about what we would be doing that day. One person was more of a vibes checker. And then we had somebody who was responsible for answering questions.
Everyone starts somewhere. Your first step might not look like anybody else's. I asked a couple of my friends about how they got started.
Well, I'm Smokey. I'm a longtime anarchist here in New York City. I've written a few books. I've been parts of lots of groups. I've had my house raided by the FBI, and I'm part of MAC. I guess my first experience has been involved in organizing around anarchist politics would have been with the ARA Anti-Racist Action. It was mostly around the rise of specifically right-wing racist organizations in the Midwest, where I'm from, that were attacking mostly African immigrant groups and punks. We were organizing self-defense committees, doing neighborhood watches, which mostly involved getting into scuffles with right-wing bigots. We were also doing clinic defense, so we were helping escort folks to Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics.
My name's Julian. I'm a native New Yorker, librarian to be, hopefully. I didn't grow up with him, but I went to a high school with very privileged people. One of our alumni was David Koch of the Koch brothers. One day, a guy called out our school for taking this guy's money and having him as an influence, and that hit me and a couple other friends in the right place. We resolved to go on an information campaign. So what we did was we got an article that someone had written that outlined who this David Koch guy is. We printed a bunch of these things out. We woke up early in the morning and we all snuck in. We went into all the open classrooms. We put things up. We put them on like every seat. People were asking, oh, what are these things? I would also ask, oh, you saw this thing? It's like, yeah, we saw it and like we didn't get it. And I was really sad because, you know, we put all this work in to try to get people talking. There was an announcement made in the next couple days that tried to console us, saying David Koch has no influence on our school. And it was in discussion for a couple of years. That was my first foray into some sort of activism.
My name is Gabriel, and I am the program director at Brand Workers. We are a immigrant worker center here in New York City.
Gabriel came to activism through organizing his workplace and continues to be involved in the labor movement.
Well, my first experiences with the labor movement really had to do with me being a student, just needing to have a job. The way that I became involved in organizing my coworkers was a realization that the things that I needed for myself were intricately tied into the things that my coworkers wanted for themselves. I thought that I could just kind of talk my way into getting the things that I needed from my job. And very quickly, you come to an understanding that that's just not how it works. Like, you can't argue or like logic your way out of a bad situation. There's situations that exist and it's structured that way for a reason. When I knew that I needed things to be different at work, I wasn't going to get it just by myself. And I needed my coworkers to help me. And I needed them to stand by me when I asked for the things that I needed, and so that they could also get the things that they needed as well. If you're going to get the things that you need in your life, we're going to have to do it together. That's really kind of the most difficult thing in most circumstances, like really pushing somebody to come to an understanding that they're not going to get the things that they deserve in their lives without working together to figure it out.
Hi, my name is Amy, and I'm the producer on this podcast.
Amy's working behind the scenes. You'll hear from her a couple times throughout the season.
During the summer before Trump's election, I started going to some Black Lives Matter marches, some actions about the Dakota Access Pipeline, and also started volunteering at a soup kitchen regularly. I sort of just had this feeling that the world was really messed up and I should do something, but I wasn't really sure what yet. I was sort of just exploring a lot of ideas. Then the election was just a huge blow and it felt like everything was a disaster. And so then it was really important to me and some friends to go down and protest at the inauguration. We went to some of these barricades in the morning that people had set up to barricade the entrance to the inauguration. And we went to something later in the day, the Festival of Resistance. It was like a really long day with a lot going on. And it really was an impactful experience. And that's what really drove me to continue to be involved.
As you take your own unique first steps, don't be intimidated. Here's Smokey again.
People are already organized. You're not organizing people. If you have to organize people, you already lost. They're already organized either at their school or their workplace or other places. It's really a matter of saying, okay, we want your informal organization to take a stand, and this is how we want you to do it. I've always seen myself more as an inviter than an organizer, and being like, come to this thing.
I believe in people's ability to take their own initiative. During school and at jobs, you've been given the opposite message. You've been told to listen to those in authority. So if you're feeling imposter syndrome or like you shouldn't be doing this, that's normal. To be an organizer, you have to fight through it. This is something that I've struggled with a lot in the past and now during making this podcast. When I was putting together some benefit shows in Philadelphia, I talked to a friend who was more involved in activism than I was about this feeling. I told them I was nervous about it because I hadn't been involved in this before. They told me to go for it, because if I waited till I felt ready, I might be waiting forever. You may never feel 100% ready to do political work, but that doesn't mean you can't go ahead and do it. I talked a lot in this episode about how everyone can do this work, and I want to add a little note about why you personally are essential to the movement. You have access to things that no one else has access to. You have friends and family that will listen to you more than they would me, or a book, or an article, or anyone else. Many folks want to sit back and say, well, that's not my job. Someone else will do the organizing. I want to remind you that's not true. The work you do organizing your own crew is work no one else can do. So get pumped. You're crucial. Also remember that you're doing your friends a great service. Many people want to be involved in making the world a better place, but being involved is easier said than done. So if you've taken the time to do this work and help your friends plug in, at least a few of them will be grateful for the opportunity. Lastly, your first try at organizing might not be perfect. In fact, it most likely won't be. But remember, something is better than nothing, and you've learned some valuable skills. Take time to celebrate the success and try again when you're ready. You've been listening to Rebel Steps. Find more resources at rebelsteps.com. I'm your host, Liz. Believe in yourself, trust one another, and get organized. This episode was written, edited, and produced by Amy and myself. Music for this episode was kindly gifted to us by Tutley and Ellen Siberian Tiger, and also includes a few songs that I created. Special thanks to our interviewees, Smokey, Gabriel, Julian, and Sarah, and their organizations.
Hi there, I'm Izzy Brown from Combat Wombat, and you're listening to Subversion 1212.
1312.
Hi, this is Izzy Brown from Combat Wombat, and you're listening to Subversion 1312 on 3ZZZ.
4ZZZ.
Sorry. All the numbers. You know, I've got number dyslexia. I can never get numbers right. Hi there, this is Izzy Brown from Combat Wombat, and you're listening to Subversion 1213 4ZZZ. Is that right?
1312. Yeah, it stands for all one, cops
three,
are
one,
bastards.
1312. Hi, this is Izzy Brown from Combat Wombat, and you're listening to Subversion 1312 on 4ZZZ. Like the power.
Yeah. Who that? Who that? Who that? Who that? GPs. Is it a bird? Crenshaw. It's aimed at the police.
Action speak louder than words, homie.
Look, is it a plane?
Salute.
Oh yeah, I'm on another one. Yo, I don't wear no capes or no tights. Before the family, I give my life. I don't fly, I don't have no x-ray vision. All I do is stay focused and handle my business. Don't be looking for no hero, gotta save yourself. That's why I walk with power in my steps, so my presence is felt. I don't brandish a heavyweight belt. I just strive to be an everyday help in the best way I know. I don't change up in the phone booth on the low. But I'm Superman to my youth, making sure he grow. He knows a hero is just a sandwich. We do it out of love, never for the glory. That's what a man is. Lead by example. Set your own standard without the gamma ray enhancement. Life is no fairy tale. The struggle, I know it very well. This is going out to the real heroes everywhere. Everywhere.
We are our own superheroes. Fighting for our rights. We are our own superheroes.
Off. No doubt.
dust of basalts. Mind in the cosmos, feet touch the asphalt. I'm an antenna between heaven and earth. I am the difference between death and birth. My persistent existence contradicts conditions. Let's be realistic, switch the statistics. Not to mention surviving this shit. White supremacist, police, and addiction. Life is a struggle, you face it and change it. Fighting for your right, survival is dangerous. Heroic, the notion and deeds of a poet. The system is weak, so the people overthrow it. That's what I teach to my seeds when they're growing. By the time they reach their teens, then they know it. I show it through my activity and focus. They see what I read, who they meet, and they notice.
Cyclops, Wolverine, and the Nightcrawler.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Cyclops, Wolverine, and the Nightcrawler.
Superhero, for real. Power to the people, how would they feel? Freedom, that's what I'm here to build. Fight to win, I do my will.
We are our own superheroes, fighting for our.
Ain't no need to hesitate. Use your full potential. All you have to be is awake. The people are depending on you. Everything is at stake. Interplanetary, not a bird, not a plane. With the power to break it all down at peak game. Able to leak anything in a single bound. Not a prison or the projects. Nothing can hold me down. Superman was a popo when Batman was a snitch. Wonder Woman fought to keep the rich people rich. The second coming of Brother Man. Straight out the gutter, man. All we need is ISIS in this imperial crisis. Life ain't no Marvel comic and I ain't Stan Lee. But a hero to my family, that's what I can be. I am my own liberator, say it to yourself. When you ain't got nothing less, that's your power and your wealth.
We are our own superheroes, fighting for our rights. We are our own superheroes, all power to the people.
You're listening to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Aniki Show. And just then we're listening to a song by Mick Grenshaw, featuring Dead Prez, and it was called Superheroes. And I just came across Mick Grenshaw today when I listened to the Stimulators Trouble series and their most recent program, which is on hip hop, and it's called And We Don't Stop. And Mick Grenshaw, it's like one of those things like, where was I? He's a legendary spoken word artist and socially conscious MC. And in the song, he teamed up with Dead Prez for a tribute to everyday people. And that follows on from the Rebel Steps, which is all about how to be an organizer and the emphasis on that. And the emphasis with anarchists is that anyone can do it. You don't need to wait for other people to take the initiative. You don't need to wait for someone else above you to tell you what to do. You can start and do it yourself. And next week, I talked to Barbara, who's a regular anarchist contributor to the show, and next week we'll be talking more about it, the ways people can get involved in Brisbane. But just off the top of our heads, there's something like Frontline Action on Coal, which has been doing a lot of grassroots action against coal mines. And Adani is the big one right now. There's also Turnstile. It's on Laura Street in Highgate Hill. And it's just a place you can go and get to know people if you don't know a lot of people who are involved in activism or who are willing to want to know about activism. There's also gigs going out and seeing music. 4ZZZ's motto is agitate, educate, organize, and 4ZZZ is a music-based station, but music and community and activism, politics are very closely related. And if you go and see gigs, punk gigs, hip-hop gigs, folk, whatever, everything, then you can meet other people who have views similar to yours and who you might be able to organize events with. So right now I'm going to play this section of the Trouble documentary called And We Don't Stop. And there might be some swearing because in hip-hop people swear.
Position that hip-hop occupies atop the dizzying heights of the global entertainment industrial complex, it can be easy to lose sight of its humble beginnings and its enduring role as a source of revolutionary politics.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and said they were suckers.
I know this for a fact. You don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack. Will you be doing that? I'd rather say see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be your officer, your wicked overseer.
Call me little Bobby Hutton, cause I'm first to push the button. Rappers don't be saying nothing to the system. We say fuck 'em.
Por eso decimos fuck, por eso hacemos hip hop. No nos importa tu placa, tu metralla ni tu glove. Tu mente en shock, fucking police stop. Recuerda que el tiempo pasa y nunca para en el clock.
Though it didn't really break out until the late 70s and early 80s, hip hop's genesis story began in the summer of 1973 in the South Bronx. At the time, New York City's northernmost borough was, by all appearances, a war zone. Decades of neglect, ill-thought-out public infrastructure projects, white flight, racist redlining policies, and urban decay had reduced entire city blocks to rubble. Rampant poverty and unemployment had created a vacuum that was filled by street gangs with hundreds of small crews constantly battling over territory and literally setting large sections of the city on fire. Out of this simmering cauldron of social and economic tension, hip-hop emerged as a vibrant DIY subculture spread through house parties thrown by working class, Black and Puerto Rican youth who were alienated and excluded from New York's decadent disco scene. A catalyzing moment of the emerging hip-hop scene was the formation of the Universal Zulu Nation on November
12th, 1973.
Founded by members of a gang called the Black Spades, the Zulu Nation built hip-hop into a tool for community organizing, bringing members of different gangs together, settling street-level beefs, and introducing codes of conduct, all while imbuing the scene with formative political values of street-based community solidarity and pan-African consciousness. The Zulu Nation is credited with constructing the foundation of hip-hop culture, forged around five core elements: MCs, DJs, graffiti, B-boys and B-girls, and the fifth element, street knowledge.
But then I got wise, and I began to listen to the whack teachers in the whack system. My mother put me in where you should shoot, which means Black school in Swahili. And there is where I learned Black history and how to be the best that I can be.
We don't talk to police, we don't make the peace bond. We don't trust in the judicial system, we shoot guns. We relied on the streets, we do battle in the hood. I was born in the G-code embedded in my blood. We don't talk to police.
In the decades that have followed, hip-hop has been transformed into a global phenomenon and a multi-billion dollar industry in its own right. But the five foundational elements have survived and adapted over the years, providing a sustained authenticity that has allowed radical artists to continue to innovate, carve out space, and even fight back against the industry's overall creep towards commercialization. Over the next 30 minutes, we will explore hip-hop as a potent and persistent source of revolutionary culture rooted in the oppression, exploitation, and criminalization faced by youth, and particularly poor youth of color. Along the way, we'll speak with a number of grassroots artists who are continuing to spit truth to power, all while organizing their communities, tearing up stages, and making a whole lot of trouble.
One for the revolution, two for the flow. If the break boys are there, then you should probably go. If the MCs and DJs be rocking to foe, and the graph writers getting up, you already know. And yo, one for the revolution, two for the flow. If you see 12 coming, you should run, run, Joe. Matter of fact, run fast, bro, don't run, run slow. They want to get you in the cage since you already know.
Hip hop stands for his or her infinite power helping oppressed people. That comes from the temple of hip hop. Okay, so that's from you know, OGs like KRS-One and other people getting together and figuring out how to effectively uplift the more positive elements of the culture that are based in community, liberation, and empowerment.
Hip-hop to me is a way to be able to spread a message of resistance to a larger audience.
Hip-hop to me is a way to share my story before anybody else has a chance to twist at my words or to twist at my experiences.
It's resistance and creativity. That's what hip-hop is to me.
Hip-hop initially rose up speaking to injustices. Eventually it rose into the stories speaking to the issues of the oppressed.
The early days was very humble. It wasn't a lot of money. There wasn't a big budget. It was kind of put together by people with whatever they had. People had come up with this medium of going through the rubble and putting graffiti up and breakdancing and emceeing and DJing. And, you know, it was a way of resistance. The same youth that were throwing bricks and rocks and pushing back the police, they have something to say.
We peep the allegory at the campfire listening. Elders share the stories of the vampire's victims. How do I not make the same mistake? Wisdom generate division, obliterate the prison.
Freedom's all I wanted, but I couldn't afford it. My baby's got the spirit, just brilliant and gorgeous. So yes, the self-defense endorsement. Always a quiet when she about to load it. Hold it. It's some more about to load it, oh shit. And the whole body will support it.
Seen a whole lot of people want friends. Seen a whole lot of people want bands. Seen a whole lot of people can't get what they want. So a whole lot of people pop stands. They say the means don't justify the ends. Do the ends ever justify the means? And when we end all of this hardship, if we just put rich pickers in the guillotine?
Cause I can't watch these kids die and then lie like I give a fuck. And not do a fucking thing but lie down like I giving up. So get a gun if you ready. We gripping on the machete for any. Involved, we got a problem forgetting.
Pensar por cuenta propia es un lujo que cuesta caro. A ellos no les conviene que te separes del ganado. Más ganan ellos si los mantienen desinformados. Una tierra empobrecida y más fuerza para el Estado.
Fuck the parliament, fuck the cops, and fuck the robber baron bosses, and fuck they offices. Predominant model of economics and elephant cock in they ballot boxes.
It came from the Bronx in the 70s in New York City, and now it's worldwide. Hip-hop is like folk music. It's very much a historical record. These are stories that are very telling of the American empire, you know, looking from within. And I think that's why it's so compelling, and that's why it resonated. People may not know it, but I think the reason that hip-hop spread is because there's stories that everyone needs to hear and is interested in hearing.
It came from people who have been displaced historically from the continent of Africa to North America, to Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. It also came from ethnicities that had been mixed in the process of the colonial subjugation and conquest of the so-called New World.
That was significant in drawing me in because we learned that we had a shared story. We had a story of not only oppression, but resistance.
We can measure history in terms of what we know about our experience here in the United States as descendants of people who were stolen from the continent of Africa. But we also have to be able to measure our existence and our influence on what happened before that, what's currently happening in the African diaspora and on the African continent, and struggles for liberation and self-determination.
Some of the major influences that I've had musically have been folks who share their narratives in a really honest way, in a really vulnerable way, especially when they go to represent their anger and their rage with the way that these systems of oppression are set up around us.
I recognize first and foremost that I am a guest in the house of hip-hop. I don't take someone else's experience and try to whiteify it. I see things through the lens of white people. And so I feel like it's like my job to criticize white culture in the way that a white dude can. And so I use my music to confront the shittiest parts about white culture, imperialism and colonialism and capitalism and authoritarianism.
Although it has since spread all around the globe, hip-hop first emerged from and has always remained rooted in the lived experiences of Black and Latina youth hustling to survive in America's inner-city ghettos. And the so-called golden age of hip-hop, spanning the late 80s to the mid-90s, were especially turbulent times. The flooding of poor, racialized neighborhoods with crack in the mid-80s provided the spark for a rapid surge in street violence waged between increasingly well-funded and heavily militarized gangs. This, in turn, provided the justification for the ramping up of Ronald Reagan's war on drugs, a policy framework for the wholesale criminalization of black and brown communities that opened the door to enhance police repression and mass incarceration, twin pillars of U.S. domestic counterinsurgency strategy that continue to this day. In 1986, a group formed in South Central LA that fed off this raw sense of desperation and rage, forever changing the face of hip-hop in the process. That group was NWA, the first successful pioneers of a new subgenre of hip-hop, gangsta rap. These days, it's hard to appreciate the shock and terror that NWA provoked in America's white supremacist power structure, especially its frontline troops, the cops.
Rap music promotes, by its very language and by its very actions, promotes violence against authority and consequently violence against law enforcement.
Songs like Fuck the Police became rallying cries for a generation of black and brown youth whose rage would soon find popular expression in the LA riots of 92.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority.
But while NWA provided a megaphone to black youth's widespread hatred towards the police, they also injected mainstream hip-hop with a violent strain of misogyny and homophobia that continues to fester to this day. They also provided the emerging hip-hop industry, largely controlled by the white capitalist power structure that they were rebelling against, an opportunity to make millions of dollars selling records that glorify black and brown youth killing one another over nothing.
There's a difference between telling your story and glorifying some of the things that you have to do to get by. So I appreciate, you know, when artists can, you know, yeah, maybe talk about the gangbanging past, talk about, you know, the past where you had to sell some shit, you had to do some shit that you're glad you don't have to do anymore.
Government plans, fencing us in, life in the pen, for selling shit you put in our hood, knowing that do it, we just starving and dying to eat, dying the street for a fraction of what I get now for sounding fly on the beat.
I feel the weight of not glorifying some of the things I've done in my past, because I see it happening with other artists, with their songs.
Cold gang with the cocaine.
Cold.
The more money make more rain.
Rain.
Pouring up a paint while I'm back in propane. Bang. Point blank range, give a nigga nose range. Skip to my lube with the pack and the cat. Jiffy, lube with the bricks, where they at?
In hip hop, they might call it bitches, hoes, guns, money, sex, murder, and all that. But if you look at the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the U.S. government, that's all it is. It's a reflection of the culture that we live in. It's the values that we've inherited as part of the conditions of survival in this country to prioritize the things that are going to get us pussy, get us respect, and get us paid, and get another motherfucker to recognize us, you know, and that is some bullshit. What you won't find me doing in my music, lyrically, you won't find me killing niggas. You won't find me on some exploitative, downgrading shit about women. You won't find me talking about killing faggots and faggot this and faggot that.
There's lots of people saying fucked up shit in the world of hip hop. To me, I can't have that. You know, I'm not gonna throw a show where I book those guys, or I can't do collabos with them. I can't work with them. I'm not going to sort of taint the work that I'm doing with this hate, right? Try to promote the kind of hip-hop that I'd like to see. I work with people that are doing the kind of hip-hop that I'd like to see.
I learned early that I had to be three times better than the guys to even remotely get even recognized, and it made me already come out swinging, and I never stopped swinging because I already recognized that I had a disadvantage. I was already seeing patriarchy and sexism.
Whenever I do a show and I'm the only woman on the lineup, we have to call it out. We have to address the fact that I'm not the only woman there, because I'm the only woman with something worth saying, with something worth listening to. I'm the only woman there because we don't listen enough to the women around us, and we don't give up the mic. Men don't give up the mic enough.
Put my face in the book because my people are profiled. Erased from the books and my people are told lies. Sky's the limit, go fly. Cali green, we go high. I mean black and no fire. When you do, I grow wise. When I wake up, no makeup, half naked, I feel like I'm the shit. Pardon my language, but hang-ups do not define the kid. No, I'm not flawless, I'm scarred up and I'm fine with it. My body are the laundry list of all of life's unkindness.
Oh,
Hip-hop culture is an expression of oppressed people's reality.
Hip-hop is so global now that literally every neighborhood, every community is representing. I see people doing hip-hop in Palestine.
BDS, يعني مقاطع, هاي الطريقة اللي بيستجم في تل أبيب زي اللي استجم في جنوب أفريقيا.
Native artists are just really standing up globally and representing and telling a story that really needs to be heard. And it reminds me of the early days of hip-hop. It's not like packaged and pretty and fake. We just raw truth and raw facts. So big up to all my native comrades out there holding it down with hip hop.
I feel like music is especially important in sharing political ideals with youth, taking care of our people, to maintaining our identities. So it's absolutely like foundational.
What is black? Black is a response to white supremacist categorization of human beings. Something that doesn't even begin to encompass the vastness of history and cultural reality. When I'm in Zimbabwe, as an ambassador, if you will, for hip-hop, I encounter people that are Shona, people that are Ndebele, people that are of these different cultural realities doing hip-hop.
South Africa is big right now with the resistance music.
Yo, we've been colonized. It's not a lie. Working class, let's start to organize. I believe the masses will arrive. Revolution will rise and decolonize. It is time to mobilize. Inyawa's no talk of.
For people all over the continent to have taken hip-hop, not in an exploitative, oppressive way, but in an empowering way. Taking black culture, born in the United States, created as a result of the separation from the continent of Africa, taking that back, reinterpreting it, and it being a bridge for black people all over the fucking planet Earth. That's a powerful thing, man.
Don't be afraid to link a network with people that aren't in your neighborhood. You gotta connect, and you can't just preach to yourself. You can't just talk to yourself. You have to connect with people. If you wanna make it, yeah, you can upload something to SoundCloud, but to get the full experience of the art and for people to hear you, to get exposure, you're gonna have to go out there and perform, and you're gonna have to go out there and link up with other people.
Backpack smacker, testament dropper. I'm a Rupert Spectre, bent to my heart, hit to Masada, study it all, past to the present, resurrected.
You have a duty, if you're making radical music, you need to help build the foundation in the community for radical music to come in. So you have to help book the shows, you have to help find the spaces, you have to get the sound systems, you have to help facilitate that. You're not just making music and radical music, you need to help with fostering radical music community.
The term is many hands make light work. We can get more done together than we can by ourselves in certain formats. And then sometimes less is more. Sometimes you have to cut dead weight and you have to step away from people who don't have the same priorities as you. And you have to be okay with doing that.
The goal of my making music isn't to explain myself to someone who doesn't understand my background. The goal is to connect with the folks who share that same path and who find strength and healing in hearing their story being told, who, you know, may otherwise feel very much alone.
Stop inviting women to just the all-women events. Don't be embarrassed when we grab the microphone and rock it when you're in your circle full of guys. But people start to look at diversity in that way of inviting people to the table so that we all can break bread and all do this thing that we call our culture. It'll change. And if they don't open the door, break the fucking door down. Kick it open. Fuck asking.
These record labels slang, I chase like dope. You could be next in line and sign and still be writing rhymes and wrote. You would rather have a Lexus or justice, a dream or some substance, a beamer, a necklace, or freedom. Still nigga like me don't play or hate, I just stay away. It's real hip hop and it don't stop till we get the popo off the block. They call it hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. It's bigger than
for the greedy, for the white man. All we want is our freedom.
As we continue to resist the resurgence of far-right reaction, further entrenched inequality, gentrification, and an increasingly repressive state apparatus, it is very important that anarchists build and strengthen connections with those outside our immediate circles. Part of this requires that we actively spread our politics through popular subcultures like hip-hop that resonate with millions of people who share our hatred of police and capitalist society, but won't necessarily be inclined to come out to all our meetings, rallies, or reading circles. and the other part involves listening and learning from established histories of resistance and struggle in order to better understand and identify points of affinity and possible collaboration. Thankfully, there are lots of amazing individuals already doing this important work, but we need more of them.
By the time I get to Chuck D and P.E., mi vecino escuchaba ni BMD. En casa la cosa se mantenía más PG, así que duro podía rockear Run DMC. Pensé que era solo en inglés hasta que vi cosí. Me enseñó que el hip hop en español sonaba así. Ese sí que era más underground que Wiso G, que con su química también puso su grano en mí. Y llegó K, Aries, a Philosophile y Tribe, LL, Rakimi, De La, L.O., N.S., Premier J, D.A., Zulu,
Yay. Don't get it twisted, I'm here to kick ass instead of kissing. You probably here to lick ass and sniff it. I spit bars and rip shit so you trip hard how this bastard did it. Don't skip past the fact of mastered it. Bro, I'm cynic as arsenic, put in overtime, but yet I'm overlooked. They overrated, overconfident and overbooked. What they're doing has been done, overcooked. I've seen them ride the waves and get dumped. Head over foot, it's style over substance. Quantity over quality, perception over honesty. Policy over autonomy, how out there's wages built this country's economy. Technically I'm owed more than the lottery. You follow me? I'm married to the sound and never missing a ring. And never bow to a crown when I'm considered a king. Huh, that's why they're not allowed to listen to him. He's gonna shine a light down when their vision is dim. Check it. There's always good and a lot of badness. There's always joy and a lot of sadness. There's always a lot to paint, not a lot of canvas. There's always beauty and a lot of madness. Who you think they look to for inspiration? They get paid for the formulas and game that I gave them. Riding in a lane that I paved them. Claiming they taken over till I switch gears and overtake them. You couldn't beat me even if we battled in your dreams. You get the pinata treatment swinging by your skinny jeans. I'll go into your fridge and take a piss in your lean. Stomp mud over your couch and make a split with your green. Like what the fuck you gonna do about it? I'm in the house to move the crowd and make them hurl shit at you till they boo you out it. You can make do or do without it. Get a clue about it. If you in my way, the roots maneuver out it.
Hi, I'm Anwar from Indonesia. I hope you all listen to Voz Radio. Stay tuned and don't go anywhere. Okay?
What you do is what hip-hop is doing. And everything you do today shall be your children's heritage tomorrow. So be conscious of that today. This is what hip-hop is. This is what the underground movement is.
And that was from Dead Prez, from their album, which was called Gangster Grills. That was just a little bit there from KRS-One, one of the original OGs. And I'm going to put him on the spot now. Daniel's in the studio. Danthrax.
Hello.
And he is a big hip-hop head.
Oh,
like
yeah,
gangster rap.
Yeah, especially gangster rap.
Yeah, so...
Oh, hell yeah.
Do you want to talk about what your influences were in like, the 90s of...
My influences?
Yeah, and what turned you on?
Oh, NWA for one, but they were more 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, there was Ice-T and... Oh, wow. Public Enemy. Oh, man. Public Enemy were cool. I went to see their concert. That was wicked. Grandmaster Flash, but that's more 80s.
That's one of the original
Yeah, which
wasn't mentioned.
The original, he was the original one.
Yeah. I'm one of the originals. I'm not saying that...
Hip-hop and rap goes back to the 70s, though.
I'm not saying that Franklin's and Submedia's piece on hip-hop didn't cover everything, but there's some things it didn't cover, such as The Last Poets and The Revolution Won't Be Televised.
What's his name? Put me on the spot here.
Yeah, okay.
I have it on the tip of my tongue. Gil Scott-Heron.
Gil Scott-Heron, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah, like one of the first hip-hop guys.
Oh, yeah.
Gil Scott-Heron.
Yeah, him.
But also, there's Aussie hip-hop, Australian hip-hop, and I asked some friends who they thought were the best Australian hip-hop artists, and I guess I have an idea too, and most of them I've actually already heard of. There's AB Original, Combat Wombat, Morganics, who's done a lot of work with Aboriginal youth. There's Mark from Combat Wombat, who's also done a lot of work with Aboriginal youth, and Izzy Brown, who's done that as well, and Nick Huan. And Nick was also in The Serenity, which is, some people say, the best hip-hop group to come out of Brisbane. Young Warriors and Indigi Noise, Baker Boy.
Who was the rap group, the Aboriginal Indigenous group?
Indigenous Intruders.
Oh, they were wicked. I love them.
Yeah, they're so wicked. DCP, we just heard his new song.
Yeah.
And
Indigenous rap is awesome. Love it.
Anyway, he played along with Nick One, a kind of hostile takeover at the No Gatton Women's Prison show on Saturday night, which was in West End. So there's... here we go. Lazy Grey from Brisbane, Indigenous Intruders. Brothers Stoney, DCP, of course, and
Hilltop Hoods
and The Herd. I think The Herd was one that I wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah, The Herd.
As well, Pataphysics played on Saturday night.
Oh, they were wicked.
Yeah, there's another hip hop from Australia. And if you have some ideas, then shoot me an email, linda@subversion1312.org, or go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/subanarchyshow. On that note, we're going to leave you. Probably go and listen to some hip hop in the car on the way home. Thanks very much for tuning in. And thanks to the Rebel Steps crew for allowing me to play that. And of course, always to Submedia.
Check out Subversion1312 online.
Subversion1312.org.
Facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Cause that's as close as he's ever gonna get. Bobby just hasn't learned it yet. The times are changing, but he just forgets.
On Twitter, anarchy_show.
He's gonna choke on his harmonica outputs. Nothing ever burns down by itself. Every fire needs a little bit of help. Nothing ever burns down by itself. Every fire needs a little bit of.
And on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZ.org.au.
That I ever met. Nothing ever burns down by itself. Every fire needs
think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
In the eyes of the government, we are the enemy.
In a world where there is no government, anarchy rules. This summer, get ready for the most action-packed podcast.
We continue fighting because we hate all authority and love freedom, which cannot be given, but must be taken.
Such zines as This Is Not a Dialogue, A Crime Called Freedom, Party's Over, and many, many more.
For more text and audio material of interest to anarchists,
check out ResonanceAudioDistro.org.
Social process which is known and very visible, but perhaps not acknowledged as much as it should be. It is that one where a new idea, or an old one in new form, is accepted by a minority, while the majority are shouting treason, rubbish, kook, communist, capitalist, or whatever is the term of abuse valued in that society. And they develop this idea, at first probably in secrecy or in semi-secrecy, and then, more and more visibly, with more and more support, until, guess what? This seditious, impossible, wrong-headed idea becomes what is known as received opinion, and is loved and valued by the majority.
Conclusion?
In a democracy, the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population, have to be kept from interfering. They can be spectators, but not participants.
No matter how much legal action you put behind this, people are going to do what they want to do.
Spectators, but not participants.
It's time to talk about censorship.
Send this song to 20 people.
But isn't it stealing?
At your name, don't break the cycle.
From people to people.
Pass it along.
People like MP3s.
Pass it along.
How about trying this future on for size?
It's one for the money.
Spectators, but not participants.
It's one for the money.
Spectators, but not participants.
You can't legislate people's behavior.